Bible school for Tuesday nights. And if you came to Vacation Bible School, one of the things that you got to see were puppet shows. The adults got one show each night. The kids got two shows each night. And those are our four puppets, the stars of VBS. As I was thinking about these puppet shows, I thought, you know, in order for those shows to come to pass, there were several roles that had to be fulfilled. Somebody had to provide us with the puppets. I mean, the puppets are a lot better than four hands talking to you, right? Somebody had to build the stage that those puppets operated out of. We had some IT guys. They made certain that the sound was good. They helped us tape the show so we can show those on tapes to the kids each night during Vacation Bible School. IT specialists right here at Oceanside. We had to have the stage handlers, if you noticed. Every Sunday the pulpit was here as soon as people got out. The stage was set up. Right after Vacation Bible School, the stage was pulled down. Just call those stage handlers. Had to have the script writer. We had to have the puppeteers. Had to have those folks that are specialists with their hands when it came to puppeteering. We had to have a narrator. We had to have the VBS director. You know, isn't it amazing how many roles it took just to put on a little puppet show? You see, nobody thinks about those things, do they? As I was thinking about all of those roles, some questions came to my mind. In fact, five questions came to my mind. The first one is this: which of the roles needed in order for the puppet shows to be successful? Which one of those? Folks, all of them did, didn't it? In order for us to do what we did, everybody had to fulfill their role through every week. How about this next one? Were some of the roles a little bit more important than the other roles? You might say so, right? What if there were no script? Oh, it would have still been a show. Because we have some puppets that like to get off script for some reason. We'd have had a show for certain. A VBS director, his is a little bit different. He's the one who says, yes, let's have the show. Has to go to the elders and get that approved. So yes, maybe there's a couple of roles that might be considered a little bit more important. Notice this next one. Were some of the roles leadership roles and some of the roles follower roles? Oh, absolutely. Some of them were leadership roles, some are followers. Or this one. When all of the roles were carried out effectively, what transpired? A good puppet show for the kids, was it not? That's what it was mainly for, to teach lessons to those kids, hopefully that they will not forget. And then lastly, what would have transpired if there had been fighting and arguing and debates and strife between all the people in all the different roles of that puppet show? It would have been a miserable mess, wouldn't it? That's just a puppet show. In the church, the subject of roles has become quite controversial over the last several years, hasn't it? The roles of an evangelist versus the roles of elders. The roles of elders and the roles of deacons. Sometimes those roles get somewhat confused. And then there are the roles of men and the roles of women. The problem comes when a role dedicated to one person or one group is desired by another person or another group that has no business in that role. We find preachers today who are trying to usurp the authority of elders and establish what they call evangelistic authority. They are the ones who are in charge, and the elders are subject to them. Unbelievable. We have deacons trying to oversee the work of the church. And they are the ones who are dictating and telling the elders what to do and how to do and when to do it. We have women desiring to have the roles of men. There are even some churches of Christ that have women elders and women preachers within them. Unbelievable, isn't it? The best way to handle problems with roles in the church is to look in this book and to find out exactly what the roles are, exactly what the qualifications are, exactly what the work is, and then follow the pattern of the Word of God. That's the best way to do it. But that doesn't always work. And the reason it doesn't work is because some individuals have this desire deep within to have roles that don't belong to them. So guess what? Sometimes we just have to talk about the prohibitions, do we not, relative to roles in the church. And the Bible talks about prohibitions, at least in two passages of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 14, verses 34 and 35, 1 Timothy 2, verses 12 through 15. It is a shame for a woman to speak in the assembly, the Bible says. It's a shame. That's a prohibition, is it not? Women are not to usurp authority over the man when it comes to teaching in the body of Christ. Prohibitions. Why? Because some people aren't satisfied with just the simple teachings. They have to be prohibited outright from doing things. This morning I want us to talk about this. The roles of women. Now notice the word roles is what? Plural. Is it not? Meaning there are more than one roles for women in the body of Christ. I am not going to teach you anything new. Nothing. I promise you that. But I do hope that when you leave, you'll have maybe a better appreciation, a deeper appreciation for the roles that women serve. We're only going to be talking about three of them. And the first one you may not even really think about as a role in the body, and yet it is. Folks, here it is. A woman has the role of a faithful member of the body of Christ. That's a role in the church. Everyone is so wrapped up in desiring a leadership position that we oftentimes forget that the body of Christ involves faithful members. And that's true of men and women, is it not? True or false? We need faithful women in the body of Christ. Yes, that's a role to play. And the Bible exhorts us in numerous places to be faithful, does it not? Revelation 2:10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." I got some questions about this faithfulness stuff. And the first question I have is this: do we understand what faithfulness really means? Do we understand it? That led to other questions, such as this. Is faithfulness a lifestyle that is determined by this book, or is it determined by your feelings? See, do I really understand faithfulness? See, there's a lot of people who like to walk around, "Oh, I feel faithful." They feel faithful. But are you faithful to this? That's what determines faithfulness, is it not? How about this next one? Is it a lifestyle that includes the fellowship of the church, or is it just simply an individual participation? What is faithfulness? Does it require an intimate working relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, or it's just whatever you want to do, when you want to do it, however you want to do it as a person? Is it a lifestyle that involves labor, or is it just a state of mind? See, we like it to be just a state of mind, don't we? In my mind, I like to lay down my head at night on my pillow and say, I'm faithful to God. But is that all it is? Or is it a life of labor and work and toil in the vineyard of the Lord? Is it a lifestyle that requires my all, or is it just a part-time position? And this last one, is it a lifestyle that centers on absolute, total commitment, or is it just an on-again, off-again hobby that I can practice in my life? See, that goes back to the question. Do we really understand faithfulness? What's interesting is this. The word all, in Mark 12, verse 30, answers every one of the questions that we just asked. Jesus is talking, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Folks, that little word all answers it all, doesn't it? It's all for God or what? Or nothing. It's all or nothing. Now listen to me. If a person is seeking to be faithful to God, guess what? He or she can find plenty to do in the body of Christ and never, ever be in a leadership position. Isn't that something? If I'm just faithful to God, there are ten thousands upon ten thousands of things for me to do if I want to do them. And here's the next point. If you're faithful, and if you're striving to be faithful, leadership positions will eventually come to you. Do you know that? Because a faithful individual is constantly preparing himself. A faithful individual is constantly doing what God wants him to do. And all of a sudden, something springs up and he says, guess what? I can do that because I'm ready to do that because I'm faithful. You see, I'm talking to women, aren't I? Ladies, you don't have to have a leadership position in the church. Just be what? Just be faithful. Point number two. Oh, no. I can't believe he put that up there. Another role of a woman, a keeper of the home. I didn't say it. Don't get mad at me at the door when y'all leave. Paul wrote it. He wrote it in Titus 2 verse 5. The younger women are to be discreet, chaste, watch this, keepers at home. You just die, go to heaven, and have it out with Paul. Because he said that. Those are his words. It's right there in the scripture. I looked up that little word, keeper of the home. It's one word in the Greek language. I want y'all to look how strong begins it. A guard. To beware. A stayer at home. He goes on to say, a person that is domestically inclined, yes, a good housekeeper. Thayer defines the word as follows, caring for the house. working at the home. Watch that next definition. The watcher or the keeper of the house. Keeping at home, taking care of household affairs. The very moment in our society when we talk about a woman being a keeper of the house, all kinds of pictures come to mind, don't they? She's supposed to be the individual who does what? Doing all the cooking, the cleaning, and everything else, right? She's supposed to wash them dishes. She's the one who does the dusting of the house. She's supposed to be the person who does all the vacuuming. She is the individual who does the cooking. She's the one who makes the beds, takes care of the bed. She's the one who takes care of all the kiddos 24/7. There's the keeper of that. That's the picture we have in our society, isn't it? The very minute anybody hears keeper of the home, those are the things that immediately come to the mind of individuals, isn't it? It's the very thing that our whole society turns its nose up and snubs after, doesn't it? Folks, there's no doubt the word involves some of those things. But I want you to note the picture is that of a woman standing at the door of her house as a guard to household affairs. I don't know about you, that sounds like a leadership position to me, doesn't it, you? God appointed the woman to stand at the door of her house and be the guard, be the watchman over that house. Why? Because her husband is not always there, is he? He's out working. He's out providing for the home. The food, the clothes, the furniture, the floors, yes. All those are secondary matters in the home. You want to know who the woman really cares about? Who her primary concern is supposed to be for? Number one, her husband. Number two, her children. That's who it's all about, folks. It's not about washing dishes, mopping floors. It's not what it's all about. That's not what keeper of the home is all about. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he says this, I will therefore that the younger women marry. Who are they going to marry? They marry a husband, don't they? And once they get married, then what do? Then they bear children. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, and then do what? Guide your home. Guide your home. That's written to younger women, not men. We act like the role of a woman as keeper of the house is that of a slave, don't we? That's the way society has pictured it. And folks, that's not the case at all. That role is a role of extreme vital importance. It's important to a lot of things. Happiness is at stake, is it not? The peace of the home is at stake. Souls of a husband and of little children are at stake. Pleasing God is at stake. Heaven is at stake. Society is at stake, folks. The church is at stake. If a woman doesn't do her role in the church, the effects of that run throughout the entirety of society and yes, even into the depths of eternity. And you tell me it's not important. Scholarship in our world today demeans keepers of the home, don't they? You know what God says? God says it's important. Government defies the home. Go look into some of the systems of government that are in operation in our world today, folks, and guess what? The home is despised and hated. They want the government to be the home. They want to control your house. They want to control your children. They want to control everything about you. God says it's important, doesn't he? Feminism detests it. And yet God says it's important. Satan defiles it, doesn't he? And yet God says it's important. All these people that we put our faith and our trust and our confidence in say the home is nothing, it's useless, we need to do away with it. And God says it's important. And women, your role in it is vital. The virtuous woman of Proverbs 31, she is like the sun at high noon. She is like a full moon on a clear night. And my friend, she stands like the Statue of Liberty in the North Bay of New York City. You turn and you read passages from Proverbs, the 31st chapter, you read passages like this. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. See her concern? It's not for floors. It's not for pots and pans. Oh yeah, I have to do that. But my concern is for who? My concern is for my household, the members of my household. And I'm not lazy about it. I devote total energy to it. She doesn't eat the bread of idleness. If she does her job, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. You see, that man and those children realize the sacrifices, they realize the dedication, they realize the love, the compassion that's shown by that woman on their behalf. And I've heard my kids rise up and praise Kathleen for her being a mom. I've heard it. And she's not the only one that has ever been praised as a mother. If you've done your job well, your children will let you know. Maybe not when they're 4, 5, 6 years old. They hate you as teenagers. Let them get grown a little bit. They'll let you know. That leads to my third verse, and it's this. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Proverbs 31:10. Where are they, folks? In our society, I hope you can find them in the body of Christ, don't you? First role, faithful member of the church. Second role, a keeper of the house, a guard of the house. Third role, a teacher. A teacher. We seem to discount the role of a teacher, don't we? She's just a teacher. Folks, the Lord doesn't discount the role of a teacher. Look what James says. My brethren, be not many masters. That little word master there means teacher. Knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. We talk about somebody being in the role of a teacher. That is an elevated position in the eyes of the Almighty God. And there's reasons for it. The teacher is responsible for his message. The teacher is responsible for how he delivers the message. The teacher is responsible for how he lives out the message in his life. It makes teaching pretty important, doesn't it? Ladies, listen to me. The role of a teacher is a leadership position, isn't it?
I want a leadership position.
Well, teach. Teach. What is a teacher? A teacher is an individual who has disciples who sit at his feet in order to what? Hear him teach and proclaim his message. He has individuals who are watching every step that he makes, and many of them are seeking to follow in his steps. That's a teacher. Wow. There are three groups of people that women can teach. She's supposed to teach her children, isn't she? If you don't teach anybody else but your children, you've done more than a lot of people have done. Turn to the book of Proverbs. It says this, "My son, hear the instruction of a father, and forsake not," listen to him, "the law of thy mother." You ever heard somebody say this? Boy, my mama laid down the law in our house. She taught that law, did she not? Here's what you do, and here's what you don't do. And if you do, I'll love you. And if you don't, I'll love you, but. Same statement, Proverbs 6, verse 20, just a little bit different. "My son, keep the commandments of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Ladies, listen to me. How would you as a mother respond if God were to ask you this question? Tell me about how you are teaching your children at home. Tell me. I want to hear. How would you answer that question? It's important, isn't it? He's going to ask the dad the same question. But he's going to ask the mother too. How about things like this? Well, we have devotionals in our home on a regular basis. Maybe they're when they first get up in the morning. Maybe they are before they go to bed. We have serious study of books of the Bible. We memorize various passages of Scripture. We have discussions about God's Word in our home. We have hands-on application. We go to the nursing home. We go to the hospitals. And I try to teach my children what it means to visit. We cook meals together and take them to individuals who need those meals. Hands-on application of the truth of God's Word. We visit various places where knowledge can be instilled into those kids. We go to different vacation Bible schools. We go to different gospel meetings. We go to lectureships. We go to ladies' days. We go to men's days with our kids. Because we want them to hear and learn as much of God's Word as we possibly can. We take our children on mission trips so that they can learn about the needs of people in other worlds, so they can learn to appreciate what they have, so they can learn from others how to teach the Word of God to those that are lost. Mom's got a lot to do, doesn't she? Just in her, I want to be an elder. You got a lot to do at home, don't you? She can teach other women, can't she? Paul specifically tells older women to do that in Titus 2, verses 2 through 4. Notice, the age of women likewise, that they be in behavior as what? Becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine. They also are to what? Be a teacher of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Wow. To be good, to be obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Older ladies, younger women need you. Where are you? It's not done much in the church today. Not done much. And oftentimes, when there is a ladies' class, guess who teaches it? A man. Like I know about who you are and what you need. Right? That's what we do. It's interesting to me that women want to be deacons, they want to be elders, they want to be preachers, but they don't want to be teachers. Just be a teacher. Guys, listen to me. That's front line, isn't it? You can't get in the trenches any deeper than just being a teacher. You know that? Why do they want the other and not to be teachers? One word, power. That's all it is. We got a lot of people in the church today who love power, who love authority, who want to tell other people what to do. And it's sad, isn't it? Lastly, she can teach those that are lost. Go ye into all the world and teach the gospel to who? Every creature. There's some ladies come in contact with people that I will never, ever, ever meet. You know that? Never. Never. You may have to teach your husband. You need to teach your children. You got family members to teach. You've got friends. You've got co-workers. You've got neighbors that live next to you. You may be a member of a certain kind of a group. Maybe you crochet. I don't know. Maybe in a hunting group, motorcycle group. I saw Marilyn Carson rode a motorcycle when she was young. She may have been in some motorcycle group. Many of those people are lost, are they not? Why can't you teach those people? Well, how do I do that, Vic? How about this? Can you hand them a verse of Scripture and ask them what it means? Can you give them a track? Can you give them a CD? Can you give them websites that they need to visit? Maybe you can even set up a Bible study with those individuals, mightn't you? And if you don't feel comfortable doing it, get someone else to help you teach it. Children, younger women, and just others who are lost in our world. We've looked at three roles of women, have we not, in this lesson? And I warned you from the start. I'm not going to tell you anything new, am I? Oh, here he is. Women are to be faithful members of the church. Women need to be keepers at home, and women need to what? They need to be teachers of the precious gospel of Christ. Yeah, it sounds like one of them old Church of Christ lessons. Here's what you need to remember, folks. Those three roles are God-ordained. That tells me they're important. Doesn't it, you? Extremely important. Three closing thoughts and lessons yours. Number one, those three roles, there's others we could talk about, but those three roles are enough to keep any woman busy for the rest of her life. You know that? Guarantee it. If you do them well, you'll be busy the rest of your life. Notice the second one. These are leadership positions, aren't they? How's a faithful member a leadership position? There's other people watching you, aren't there? You're not on an island by yourself. And you know what's wonderful to see? It's wonderful to see somebody who's just as faithful as they can be, and you can latch onto that person, and guess what you say? I'm going to be like him or her. And there's young people who do that. So even being a faithful member is a leadership position. And a woman who faithfully and steadfastly fulfills those three roles, when she stands before God in the last day, guess what? She will stand before God well-pleasing to her Heavenly Father. And I don't know about you, that's all that matters, isn't it? That's all that matters. We need good women. And we've got many here at Oceanside in the body of Christ, don't we? Doing what God wants them to do. Thank God for those who do. Are you a Christian? We want you to be. You hear the truth. You believe in the Christ as the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess His beautiful name before men. And you can be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Acts 2 verse 38. Are you faithful, steadfast, dedicated, doing the will of God? If you need to repent, ask God to forgive you. Do you just need our prayers? Won't you come as we stand and sing?